Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 6.
Fire from the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. We ask members and guests to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Lambeth. We'd ask our members and our guests to please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Lambeth.
If members will please bow with me for a moment of reverence and blessings. Dear God, we join together today to give thanks and praise for the many blessings we share. We give thanks for our great nation and state. We give thanks for each member and each family represented here. We pray that while we may each have our differences, you are always present, encouraging us to respect and support one another. We pray for your guidance, wisdom, and strength as we lead this great state. Now watch over us, our leaders, our citizens, and our military, whose awesome responsibility it is to protect us, keeping us safe and our nation free. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for February 5th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for February 5th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Members, please join me in welcoming our nurse of the day who's with us today, Jennifer Smith from Hampstead. Ms. Smith, thank you for being with us today. And the chair just realized that Ms. Smith back there is also the wife of Representative Carson Smith, so it's good to see you with us as well today. Would ask our pages to please come forward. We're going to go ahead and introduce our pages. Since this is the first day of recorded votes, we wanted to do that. So pages, please come stand down front. And in just a moment, for the pages, the clerk is going to call your name. And when the clerk calls your name, please step forward and so that members will know who you were. The House will come to order. And the clerk will introduce the pages.
Zachary Beezing, Orange County. Sponsor, Representative Greg Meyer. Raymond Carroll, Cherokee County. Sponsor, Representative Kevin Corbin. Melissa Carver, Person County. Sponsor, Representative Larry Yarborough. Ava Cox, Robeson County. Sponsor, Representative Charles Graham. Whitley Dockery, Columbus County. Sponsor, Representative Brandon H. Jones. Alexander Harper, Wayne County. Sponsor, Representative John R. Bell IV. Emma Millar, Iredell County. Sponsor, Representative John A. Fraley. Jackson Roball, Pitt County. Sponsor, Representative George G. Cleveland. Morgan Roth, Wake County. Sponsor, Representative Joe John. Samuel Speck, Wake County. Sponsor, Representative Julie Von Hafen. Ian St. Germain, Iredell County. Sponsor, Representative John A. Fraley.
Members, please join me in welcoming our pages here with us this week. So, pages, we hope you have a great week. It's going to be a pretty short week for you, but we're honored to have you here. I would ask that you please return to your post. Introductions of bills and resolutions, the clerk will read.
Representative Dobson, House Bill 21, Revised McDowell County Board of Education Districts.
State and local government if favorable. Elections and ethics law if favorable. Rules calendar and operations of the House.
Representatives Pittman, Speciale, and Kidwell, House Bill 22, Woman's Right to No Addition, Ashley's Law.
Judiciary if favorable. Health, favorable. Rules calendar and operations of the House.
Representative Corbin, House Bill 23, School Calendar Flexibility, Certain Systems.
Education K-12, a favorable. Rules counter and operations of the House.
Representatives Lambeth and Zachary, House Bill 24, Ensure Student Safety at School Voting Sites.
Elections and Ethics Law, a favorable. Education K-12, a favorable. Rules.
Representatives McNeil and Bowles, House Bill 25, School Calendar Flexibility, Moore County.
Education K-12 with favorable rules. Representatives Corbin and Warren recognize send forth committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee Report, House Bill 4, Claremont DX Annexation, favorable and re-referred to finance.
Chair directs bill be re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
House Bill 7, Graham County Occupancy Tax, favorable and re-referred to Finance and Rules Calendar Operations of the House.
Chair directs bill be referred to the Committee on Finance.
House Bill 9, Bessemer County Charter Amendment, favorable and re-referred to Rules Calendar and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to the Committee on Rules Calendar and Operations of the House. Clerk's authorized to read the additional committee report sent forward by Representative Corbin and Warren. Clerk will read.
Representative Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee Report, House Bill 6, Burlington Airport Lease Contract Authority, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute is referred to the Committee on Rules. Counter House Resolution 16. Corporal Reed.
Representative Lewis. House Resolution 16, a House resolution adopting the permanent rules for the House of Representatives for the 2019 regular session. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, has the floor to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, there are exciting days in our lives. There are our birthdays. We get excited for the 4th of July. There's a new Star Wars movie coming out this year. The Super Bowl was just played, and we are about to debate the permanent rules of this House. Welcome to my world. Members, I'd like to briefly go through the changes in the 2019-2020 rules of this resolution proposes. I'll do this as quickly as I can and then be glad to answer any questions that you may have. First of all, to make clear, rule one, this rule will provide that there will be two set legislative breaks, which you can use to schedule time away to be with your family. One will be in the week that is near the Easter holiday, and one will be near the 4th of July. Hopefully we will not need the one near the 4th of July. Rule 4, this rule change conforms with the current practice of the House and allows votes to be taken on the approval of the journal without a quorum. That's important for the days when the Speaker announces there are no votes and not all of us are here on those days. Rule 8.1, this is a technical change that deals with representative statements of personal privilege. This puts it into the rules. It makes clear that what representative statements are and what points of personal privilege are, and it makes clear that that is different from a question of privilege. Try to speed up here. Rule 13, this removes the requirement of a second to have a motion reduced to writing. Rule 26 is largely a technical change. It clarifies that the chair of a standing committee that has permanent subcommittee is automatically a voting vice chair of those permanent subcommittees. It also establishes that the rules chairman, the speaker pro tempore, the majority leader and deputy majority leader as ex officio members on each standing committee and permanent subcommittee of the House, with the exception of the Committee on Ethics. Rule 27, this is only a change from the temporary rules that we passed on the first day, but not a change to the modified rules. This creates the Committee on Banking and also the Committee on Homelessness, Foster Care, and Dependency. Rule 31 clarifies that resolutions can be used only to honor deceased members of the General Assembly, and also allows resolutions to be used to express opinions of the House or the General Assembly to Congress. Rule 31.1, this conforms to and matches the Senate rule on crossover. Rule 32, this lays out the process for permanent subcommittee action, which means in layman's term, basically the speaker can refer bills directly to a subcommittee and that subcommittee can refer the bills back. Rule 36 also deals with the permanent subs. Rule 40 is a change. This allows bills establishing state or congressional districts to be calendared without adhering to the normal schedule of business of the day, which is in Rule 5. The reason this is in there is to allow the House to respond, should we be required to, based on the order of a court. This would let us move faster than we might normally would on a normal bill. Mr. Speaker, the rest of the rules are rule changes are largely technical, and I would ask for members' support of these rules, and at the appropriate time I'd like to be recognized to send forward an amendment.
Gentleman from Harnett's recognized to send forth an amendment, H-16 ASU 4, version 1. The clerk will read.
Representative Lewis moves to amend the bill on page 4, lines 32 through 34 by rewriting those lines to read.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, this amendment simply strikes some language in the rules or in the resolution that is before you that deals with the wearing of hats. After conferring with the Speaker's office and the House clerk, we believe that it is very clear that the Speaker can enforce decorum in the House and that this language would only cause confusion. Therefore, I would ask you to support this amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Lewis. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will light machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The amendment is adopted. Start taking up some amendments. Representative Alexander is recognized to send forth Amendment ATU 7, Version 3. Clerk will read.
Representative Alexander moves to amend the bill on page 15, lines 24 through 32, by deleting those lines.
Gentleman from Mecklenburg is recognized to debate the amendment.
Didn't hit the button. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This would simply deal with the limits that we have now on the number of bills that we can introduce. That would change that by moving it to 25 as opposed to the 15 that are currently in the rules.
What, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognize debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, the idea of how many bills can be filed is one that is discussed every year. I can recall we have gone from a time where we had no limit. We've had 10. I remember one time Representative Leo Daughtry from Johnson County said that he felt like most folks only got one good idea a year, so maybe the bill filing limit should be one. With that said, I really think we've debated. We've gone from none to 10 to 15. Some folks wanted to go back down to 10, back down to 8. I think we're in a good place at 15 bills, and I would ask you to vote against this amendment.
Gentleman from Mecklenburg, desire further debate?
Yes, Mr.
Gentleman's recognized.
I just want to say that when I first arrived, there were no limits on the number of bills that could be introduced. And over my tenure here, people from the from my district have from time to time approached me about introducing things. And at one point, the reason that was given for a limitation was because of the technology. We had a group of folks down in the sub-basement who were pounding on typewriters. We don't do that anymore. We use technology. So there's no physical limitation on the number of bills that can be cycled through our system. The other limitation that we have that's built in regardless of the number of bills is the referral system. The bills that are introduced can be held up in committee, as everybody knows, because there's no constitutional reason or there's no constitutional requirement that a committee chairperson actually schedule a bill to be heard. So that's that is of itself is a structural limitation. If a bill passes a committee, as it stands right now, it's going to end up in rules. That's another structural limitation. So we have a number of ways to make sure that the bill flow works. And there is no reason why we should be limiting public bills to just 15. Contrary to my good friend, the rules chair's observation, I believe that there may be many, many more good ideas floating around than we have the opportunity to introduce. And so I would urge you to vote with me in changing this rule.
Point of order, Madam Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, arise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The bill that's being debated by the gentleman is not the bill that was called by the Speaker. And it's not the bill that's showing up as the current item on the dashboard. So to address the clerk, the bill that was called was, or the amendment that was called was H-16 ATU 7 version 3, and I believe that what they're debating is ATU 8 version 3. So I'd just like us to have clarity on which amendment we're debating and voting on.
Just a moment.
All amendments should be made on him and paper. Sorry, I got messed up. That was mine.
Representative Alexander, if you'd come to the dais, please. The House will stand at ease for a moment.
ever introduced me. And you'd have me and Rick. He'd introduce another, so I introduced one.
Okay, members, if we'll come back to order. For point of clarification, we are on Amendment ATU 7, which purports to remove all numerical filings, the number of bills that can be filed. So it's an unlimited filing. And so we want to be clear that it's the bill we are arguing at this point. Representative Torbett? For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, arise?
First, request of the speaker. Could you repeat which one we're actually debating right now?
It should be pulled up on your dashboard, but it's ATU version 7? ATU 7 version 3, which eliminates any bill limit. It eliminates
okay, correct,
any bill
correct.
Limit.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'd like to address a question to the Rules Chair, Representative Lewis from Harney.
Representative Lewis, do you yield?
Yes, Madam Speaker.
Representative Lewis, I'd like to... You're great on history, and help me remember. Last year, were there just maybe a few that actually reached the 15-bill limit anyway?
Yes, sir. That is correct. Very few members reached the 15-bill limit. Those that did were able to borrow chips, if you will, and still file bills. And it's important to understand that this does not apply to local bills. So it's 15 public bills that your name is listed on first, plus the local bills that you need to file.
Thank you. Follow-up question?
You have the floor for a follow-up.
Thank you.
Do you still yield?
I do.
Chairman Lewis, would you not also say that if there were ways, as you just mentioned, one about switching names front or back on a bill, that if you just absolutely positively needed that 16th, there are ways that can be provided, and perhaps those individuals should seek that information from their leader or someone that's managing bills through that process?
Yes, sir. As you know, we can have up to four primary sponsors on a bill. So in terms of getting your name listed as a primary sponsor, really, currently you've got four slots, 15 bills each. I mean, there's really an unlimited number that you can have your name on.
Thank you, Representative Lewis. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Alexander, your light was on. You had the floor prior to us doing this interruption. However, I'm going to inquire, since this is your second time speaking, if you want to wait till the other members have spoken, or would you like to take your second speech time now?
I'll wait to anybody else, and then I'll speak.
Yes, sir. For what purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, arise?
Madam Speaker, I rise to oppose the bill.
You wish the floor to speak to the bill?
Yes, ma'am.
The floor is yours.
Yes, I believe...
We're on the amendment.
The amendment, yes, ma'am, in lifting the cap either to limitless or to 25. So this would actually address both of those, if it's your pleasure. I'm looking at this, doing some quick math. We currently have the ability to introduce about 1,800 bills in this session. If we lift this cap to the 25, that would go to 3,000. I thought we were here to seek less government, not more. Seems to me, unless we really need to pass a bill, that would just be an astronomical increase, and I would ask that everybody vote against this.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, arise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. A point of order. I believe Representative Alexander spoke to the version 8. He didn't speak to version 7, so he has two times to speak.
And if that's an inquiry about a point of order, I'd ask the rules chair if he'd come forward. Representative Alexander from Mecklenburg, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It does not matter whether or not theoretically you can introduce 3,000 or 300,000 bills. If you are elected to represent the interest of the people of the state, you should have the ability to do so. This isn't about limiting us as individuals who are representatives to be able to bring forward ideas or to bring forward ideas that people have bring to us and would like to have introduced. What we should be doing is reverting back to the rule that we used to have, where you and I as members could introduce as many bills as we wanted to, and we didn't have 3,000 and we didn't have 300,000, but we had some good ideas. Some members will introduce a lot of bills. Some members may introduce no bills. But what we should have is the ability for any member who wants to be able to introduce whatever they want to that they believe will impact the general public. It's a principle. And I think it's a principle that we all should be able to stand behind, whether we are wearing red or blue or chartreuse.
Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A2, sent forward by Representative Alexander. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Watt Machine record a vote. 54 having voted in the affirmative, 62 in the negative. The amendment fails. Representative Alexander, you want to take another shot at this with this other amendment or leave it alone? The amendment will be returned to the gentleman. Representative Floyd, recognize, send forth amendment ASU 2, version 3. The clerk will read.
Representative Floyd moves to amend the bill on page 3, line 50, by deleting 15 and substituting 10.
Representative Floyd has the floor to debate the amendment, if he wants to.
I yield, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Does the gentleman want to explain his amendment? That would be the shortest speech in the history of the legislature, I would imagine. The clerk will read what the amendment does.
Mr. Speaker.
Rules chairs recognize debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What Representative Floyd's amendment does is lowers the amount of time that you can speak the first time on a question from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. I think the amendment is well intentioned. However, there are some complex issues that we deal with from time to time that could require 15 minutes. I think the more salient point the gentleman is trying to make is everything doesn't require that. But because some things do, unfortunately, I would have to ask members to vote down this amendment.
Representative Ford, does the gentleman want to vote on it, or does the gentleman simply want to retain the amendment?
Mr. Speaker, if you could allow, sir, a member to return my amendment, I appreciate it.
The amendment will be returned to the gentleman, but I think his point was well made. And Representative Alexander's amendment was returned to him. So we're now down to Representative Jackson's amendment. Representative Jackson, you have, gentleman has three amendments. I'm going to first call ATU 2 version 5, which is the first amendment for the gentleman on the dashboard. The clerk will read.
Representative Jackson moves to amend the bill on page 9, lines 40 through 48, by rewriting those lines to read.
The gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, has the floor to debate his amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an amendment to get rid of what we call the floater system that is being added to our rules. Floaters existed back in the early and mid-2000s, and when Speaker Hackney was first elected Speaker in 2007, he got rid of the floater system, and somehow or another they're coming back this term. I think floaters are a very bad idea. They devalue every other House legislator. If you're as a legislator can serve on every single House committee, but the rest of us can only serve on three or four. What does that say about our ability to affect policy like everybody else? I don't think there's any question that no matter if Democrats are in control or Republicans are in control, that leadership yields a lot of power. I don't think anybody would say to themselves leadership was ineffective or weak last term or when Speaker Tillis was Speaker or when Speaker Hackney was Speaker. And I don't think anybody thinks in this chamber that power is too spread out and that too many people have a say-so in what's going on. But when you approve and when you vote for floaters, what you do is you weaken the rest of us and you give leadership and you give four particular members the ability to control way too much. It makes it harder for the public. So when the public sees a bill is going to be scheduled in a committee next week, they're going to look on the website and they're going to contact every member on the committee and they're going to try to sit down and talk to you. They're not going to know that four people could walk in the last minute, not even have listened to the debate, not even have considered, you know, what the public had had to say, but they'll just walk in and get to vote at the end of the deliberation just to swing it one way or the other. That's not fair to the public. It's not fair to the members who've sat there. As you all know, Democrats received a majority of the votes for North Carolina House in the last election, and we control now 46% of the seats. With floaters in some of the committees, there's a 2-to-1 split. You know, we have a rule. One of the rules you're going to vote on today is proportionality. I think it's Rule 26B. It says that our committee should be proportional. When you have committees that are made 2-to-1 based on the use of floaters, that's not proportional. And so as you see, I've got three amendments today. I didn't run these three amendments in House rules because House rules is 2-to-1. There was no need to run it. They weren't going to have any chance. I have a better chance of getting them heard here on the floor and by winning bipartisan support. Floaters are just a bad idea, in my opinion. And I can tell you that and they are available, I believe, have been used in the rules both under Democrats and Republican majorities in the appropriations process. And I think the idea is that the big committee chairs could come and vote in subcommittees if they were needed. Remember that happened one time in 2009 when Democrats were in the majority. It happened in JPS. I was working, you know, you go to these committees, these appropriations committees, at 8:30 every morning. So like a good freshman, I went every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning at 8:30 to 10 o'clock. And I listened to all the presentations and all the slideshows. And then, you know, came big budget day and the subcommittee chairs rolled out the budget, and the people in the committee, the ones who had been showing up and doing all the work and doing all the presentations, Representative Bowles, Representative Stevens, a couple other, I think Representative Hurley was in there. There was a few of us wanted to do something a little different. And so a couple of Democrats joined with the Republican members in there and said, you know, this is our subcommittee budget. We're going to do it a little different. We want to do this. And so what did leadership do? They ran upstairs to get two floaters, to bring them downstairs, to make sure that we voted the way they wanted to vote. Luckily, one of those floaters was Representative Alma Adams, and she would listen to reason. And when I explained to her why we were trying to do what we were doing, she voted with us. That's an experience that we never would have had if we had floaters in all these committees. We're just going to have leadership that's going to tell you how you can do it. If the committee decides they want to do something a little different by majority vote, close majority vote, leadership's just going to run in four people to vote at the last minute to make sure they get the way they want it to get. I think it's a bad idea, and I'd ask you to vote for the amendment.
For our purpose, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise.
Debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, I'm going to ask you to vote against this amendment, and I'm going to try to explain part of the concerns I think that Representative Jackson has. First of all, the most important responsibility all of us have is to listen to and be responsive to what the public asks us to do. And once these members are appointed as ex officio, they will be listed on the committee website. So they will receive the committee emails. They will be known to the general public who they are. So in terms of being able to be contacted by the general public, be informed by the folks who are impacted by the laws that we pass, certainly they will have the general public will have every opportunity to know who these folks are, and to contact them. So you may ask, what is, you know, why are we doing this? One of the complaints and one of the concerns that we have heard over the past few years is that we needed to have a more consistent schedule. We needed to be able, the people needed to be able to count on that if they were told the Committee on Elections was going to meet Thursday at 11 o'clock and they drove from Asheville to come to Raleigh to speak to the Committee on Elections at 11 o'clock, that that committee meeting needed to occur. It needed to happen, or that person would have just wasted 8 hours of their life driving to and from the legislature to speak. To make sure that we have a quorum in place so these meetings can go forward, we need to have these ex officio members in place. I don't know that it's worth, I have the utmost respect for my friend from Wake County. I would dispute that the committee partisan ratios are not reflective of the membership of the House. I believe in large part they are. I was trying to do a quick count on rules. It looks to me like the number of Republican members is 13 and the number of Democratic members is 10. So I don't think that's quite two to one. That being said, I realize this may just be a philosophical difference of opinion, but I would ask you to vote no on this amendment.
What purpose, gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Speak on the amendment.
Gentleman has forward to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I've already told you I'm a little uncomfortable with this rule, and I do have some sympathy for Representative Jackson's concerns here. However, I guess I'll be voting no on this amendment, because one thing that occurs to me is if we have this rule, it may make some of us who are a little uncomfortable with it be a little more diligent to make sure that we get to our assigned committee meetings. And so that may be, in the end, a good thing. But Representative Jackson, you came real close with me on this one.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A4 sent forward by Representative Jackson. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Cork light machine and record the vote. 53 having voted in the affirmative, 61 in the negative. The amendment fails. Representative Jackson is now recognized to send forth Amendment ATU 5, Version 2. The clerk will read.
Representative Jackson moves to amend the bill on page 23 by rewriting the lines 23 through 29 to read.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this would deal with Rule 44B, which is conference reports. For those of you who were not here last session, conference reports are often used towards the end of session to get things moving, and sometimes the conference report process is used to switch out or swap out bills that have passed one house or another to try to get something again, moving quickly. But last session, what we saw is the conference report was used for what I remember as being the first time in my time here for a budget, which meant that, like I said, all those people who went to committee at 8:30 to 10 every Tuesday, Wednesday, and 30 for appropriations, they had nothing to do with the budget because it was done, stuck in a conference report, and you only had an up or down vote on it. So the language that I'm proposing is the exact language that existed in 2009 when Speaker Joe Hackney was Speaker. You know, Senate Bill 99 last year, I think that was just a terrible way of doing the budget. I'm not saying the way that the Democrats did it was a better way or necessarily was the right way. I just feel like that when we talk about things as important as a budget, we all deserve the right to at least have an amendment heard, voted up or down. catch problems, not have to worry about having 20-page reports at the end trying to correct all the problems. Again, this is one of those things that if you support a very leadership-heavy, top-down approach, then you're not going to like my amendment. But if you're one of the other 110 members in this body who want to have some ability to have a say-so, then I think this is a good amendment. Again, conference reports will still be able to be used. They just won't be able to be abused quite as easily. So I'd ask for your support.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, members, I'd ask you to vote against this amendment, but not because I don't agree with the spirit of it. I think that Representative Jackson highlights an important point that all of us agree with, which is matters should have the opportunity to be vetted and reviewed and people allowed to offer input on issues that concern them. That being said, I think the speaker has provided strong leadership in that regard. When there are matters that are returned from the Senate or come in a conference report that have not been considered by the House, it is the practice of the House to send the bill to a committee to be reviewed. The very example that Representative Jackson talks about, which is towards the end of session as things are starting to wind down, we do find it sometime in common practice to need to combine bills or combine ideas that are out there, frankly, in order to get them passed. I mean, this is a legislative, as you all know, this is a bicameral process. And there are times when we have to negotiate in good faith with the other chamber, and there are ideas that may emerge in House bills, emerge in Senate bills, emerge in conference reports that need to be included in order to get the bill before us. But again, when those things arise, the speaker has established a precedent to send those conference reports to committees so that they can be reviewed and the public can have an opportunity to have input on them. And as such, I would ask for you to defeat this amendment.
For what purpose, gentleman from Currituck, Representative Hanning Rice.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to address the previous Jackson Amendment.
Gentleman wish to be recorded as having, how does the gentleman wish to be recorded as having voted on that amendment?
That would be a no vote, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman will be recorded as having voted no on the previous amendment, which was A4. Further discussion, further debate on the amendment at hand? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A5 set forward by Representative Jackson. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Ball, did the lady wish to record on the vote? Clerk light machine, record the vote. 54 having voted in the affirmative. 61 the negative. The amendment fails. Representative Jackson is recognized. Send forth amendment ATU 9, version 4. Clerk will read.
Representative Jackson moves to amend the bill on page 19, line 21, by rewriting the line to read.
Gentleman from Wake, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just so everybody knows, a couple of things. One, I tried to get somebody else in my caucus to run these amendments, and I had no volunteers, so I tried to avoid talking three times today. Second thing, I think it's a lot of you don't know me. A lot of people in this chamber don't know each other, and so I think it's very important. So I said something earlier. Representative Lewis corrected me. And so there's a lot of people who probably, and I just want to make sure nobody thinks I tried to misrepresent somebody, miss something. Representative Lewis, when he counts the number of rules, people on rules, he does not count himself as chairman, nor does he count his two vice chairs, which are all three Republican, which brings the number to 16 to 10. Nor does he count the floaters, Representative Stevens, Representative Bell, and Representative Jones, who are not on the committee, which will bring it to 19 and 10. So when he says there was 13 to 10, he was telling you the truth. And when I said it was roughly two-thirds to one-third, I also was being honest with you. Representative Lewis said that, that the speaker was committed to an opportunity to vet. and be transparent. And so this rule, what this is about is we have a rule in our the House rules that says that PCSs, proposed committee substitutes, have to be released by 9 p.m. in order to be able to be considered at the next day's meeting of a committee. There's a lot of times, many of you know who are on those committees. You're sitting by your, if you're interested in being able to read the bill the night before and check on things, you're sitting by your computer, and it's not uncommon for them to come in your inbox at 8:55 or 8:57. But sometimes, especially last year's session, we tended to get them at 10 o'clock, maybe 10:30. And so when you show up the next day and you hadn't had a chance to call your mayor back home and ask him how he felt about this bill, or your local school board member, because you never knew about it before you went to bed, the chair of the committee can just say, "We'd leave with the committee, you know, we'll waive that rule." And so basically the what rule means nothing. It means nothing. You can just send it whenever you want and we'll have to consider it. So obviously I thought about this and I said, you know, I'd like to make that rule mean something. Wanted to put it at 2/3, but I knew that y'all weren't going to go for that. Republicans weren't going to go for that. So I tried to figure out what would make it fair, so I did it 3/5. So I'll quite frankly tell you that with the floater system, you'll be able to reach the 3/5 in every committee without having to get a single Democratic vote. But it's my hope that when you're asked to do that, that it will, that you'll think more about it and say, you know, we're trying to set up a schedule this year. We're going to be more transparent. If we can't get our PCSs out by 9 o'clock, maybe we need to hold off and not do it till next week, or hold off and not do it till the next day. So with that, I'd ask for your support.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognize and debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, I would ask you to oppose the amendment. I think it's very important to understand that the 9 o'clock rule is a rule that this body imposed upon itself in effort to be as transparent and to disseminate information to the members and the public as we could be. I would ask you to think about, is there a difference between information received at 9 and 9:05 p.m.? I would also remind every member who has served here more than a term to think about, in the normal course of business, the 9 o'clock deadline is not an issue. In the normal course of business, the chance to simply decide that a bill will not be heard until the next week is not an issue. But as we get towards the end of session, it does sometimes become an issue, and the matters need to be heard and need to be dealt with. I hope that the members that are here have noticed the speaker's commitment to trying to have a more uniform schedule, to trying to have all day on Tuesday for committees to meet, to have to know with certainty that bills are going to be voted on Wednesday at 2, to have Thursday morning for committees to meet. In order to keep those deadlines, we have to have a little bit of a fail-safe, and that may mean from time to time, and just to be clear, this should never be used as a fallback. This should not be standard practice, but from time to time, it may be necessary by leave majority of the committee to consider a proposed committee substitute that may not have been, that somebody may not have hit send by 9 o'clock p.m. the night before. That being said, I'd ask you to please vote no and defeat this amendment.
My purpose, Jim from Wake. Representative Jackson, rise.
Speak second time.
Gentlemen's recognized. Debate the amendment a second time.
Well, I think my friend from Harnett County knows me to be a very reasonable person, and if someone simply didn't sit send till 9:05, I don't think we would object. I certainly would encourage my caucus not to object. But what we did see last time is we saw some controversial issues. And so what I think what happened, don't know this for a fact, but what I think happened is there were some questions about when staff were getting bill drafting done and whether the holdup was really on staff sending it out or whether it was on the members putting it out. And so staff started putting the time when the bill draft was prepared. So you can see, like, the final bill draft that was sent out for PCS, you could oftentimes see that it was sent out. And so what I started noticing is that there were time stamps on these bills that were 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. For some reason, I wasn't getting the PCS that was sent out till 11 or 11:30 at night. And it just so happened it was on controversial bills. And that I would show up the next morning and that there was a lobbyist who had the bill or had a presentation or had it. And they seemed to have had it way before I did. And so that's where my concern is. My concern is not where staff makes an honest mistake and can't get the language quite right. My concern is that some people were holding bills, PCSs, until the last minute. And that defeats the purpose of the rule, which is to let the public see it so that person in Cherokee County can decide if they want to drive down for the next day's rules meeting or the next day's health committee and see those bills. And I think we do ourselves a disservice if we don't aim for that 9 o'clock. And so that's the purpose behind the rule. But I certainly would hope that a member who, if you vote for this amendment, again, I've told you that you'll still be able to accomplish it with your floaters without needing a Democratic vote. But I hope people would, you know, give that leeway when needed.
For what purpose? Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise.
See if the rules chair would yield to some questions, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from Harnett, yield to the gentleman from Gaston.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Lewis. Help me in my memory here, but it seems like I recall early in session when there's an abundance of time, that is typically always honored, but only towards the end of session when we get down, we'll call it the crunch time when everything's moving really, really fast. I recall in the effort to keep people from having to lay over on weekends or perhaps getting them back to the district a day earlier than before, that was the primary use of what Representative Jackson is speaking against, was the overall kindness and courtesy presented to every member of this floor to enable them to get back to the district in more appropriate time, or they would have lingered here in this wonderful city over a weekend or perhaps a Friday when they could have been home on Thursday. Do you recall that? Am I correct in that remembrance?
Thank you for the question, Representative Torbett. I think largely that is indeed the case. However, I will say, because I do believe it is vitally important, the one thing that Representative Jackson and I agree on completely is that it is extremely important that the public have every opportunity to know what business is being done on their behalf, which is why I say again that this is an exception and not a rule.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to say,
Please recognize to debate the amendment.
Thank you. To debate the amendment, thank you. I think what Representative Jackson is saying is transparency and fairness. I have gone on my dashboard and gotten things at 10 o'clock at night, sometimes not even knowing when I'm supposed to come to Raleigh. And I got a 2.5 hour drive. And sometimes I go on the dashboard and it might be 11 o'clock. And I can't reach my city council people. And I can't reach my county commissioner people because I'm trying to get on the road early to get here. Also, it is more transparent to allow the people in your districts, your constituency, to know what that calendar flow, when those committees are going to be heard. They might not travel down here, but they can always get online and listen to it by video. It's just transparency. It's just fairness. And also, it's structure. I can understand a special circumstance. I can. But when it becomes constant that we're having a special circumstance and a change of time, that's difficult. So I think we really do need to consider, are we being transparent? Are we being fair to our constituents in our district and allowing them to have the opportunity to look and hear what they want to know is going on down here in Raleigh? And I ask for your support for the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A6 sent forward by Representative Jackson. Those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 54 having voted in the affirmative, 60 in the negative. The amendment fails. Representative John is recognized to send forth Amendment ASU 7, Version 1. Clerk will read.
Representative John moves to amend the bill on page 16, line 14, page 18, line 17, page 19, line 23, page 21, lines 25, 33, and 35, and page 23, line 37 by adding the phrase.
The lady from Davie, Representative Howard. Does Davie wish to change her vote on the previous amendment?
Yes, sir, please.
The lady from Davie will be recorded as having voted no on the prior amendment. The gentleman from Wake, Representative John, is recognized to debate the amendment that is now before us.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I apologize for my voice. I've been battling the flu, but I'm gutting it out, and I appreciate your consideration. In this bill, there were several instances in which the bills dealing with congressional and legislative districts were exempted from the rules. In speaking with the rules chair, I told him I was concerned that they would be there would be a blanket exemption for these types of bills, and he indicated it was concern for having to act promptly under a court order. So the amendment that I propose, and I believe is agreed to by the rules chair, is that the exemptions apply only when there is the necessity of reacting to a court order. I'd be happy to respond to any questions anyone may have. And I'd like to apologize to Representative Lewis. I should have gotten to him earlier, but because of my health this week, I haven't been able to do so.
Representative John, the chair is going to temporarily displace the gentleman's amendment to get a legal opinion on the question.
All right, thank you.
Representative McGrady on the floor. The gentleman not being on the floor, the amendment will be returned to the gentleman. We're going to now move to just debate on the amendment. And Representative John, before we take a final vote, the chair will come back for a vote on your amendment, but the chair wants to get that reviewed. So we're now in the debate and discussion on the rules. Is there debate or discussion on the adoption of the rules? If not, the chair is going to temporarily displace the bill. We'll come back to it, and we'll dispose of the other bill on the calendar. The bill is temporarily displaced. Senate Bill 7, the clerk will read.
Senators Clark and Lowe, Senate Bill 7, a bill to be entitled an act to appoint persons to the State Ethics Commission upon recommendation of the President Pro Tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives. General Assembly of North Carolina and acts.
Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'm hoping what Representative John has is not contagious, because I'm finding myself starting to hack and cough a little bit. What this does is fulfill the obligation of the Senate and the House to appoint two members each to a bipartisan ethics appointment. The Senate has appointed Dr. Clarence Newsom of Mecklenburg County as their Democrat person, and they have appointed the former Honorable Shirley Randleman of Wilkes County is their Republican person. The House has appointed Honorable Carl Stewart, a former member of the House from Gaston County, to be the Republican appointee. And the Honorable Thomas, which we never knew his name was Thomas, Roger West of Cherokee County, to be the Republican candidate to the State Board of Ethics. We just ask for your support on the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 7 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk, lock machine, record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. Senate Bill 7 passed the second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 7 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 7, having passed its third reading, is ordered and rolled. We're going to stand at ease momentarily. The House will come back to order. We're going to go back to House Resolution 16, and we're going to go back to Amendment A7 that was before the body. For what purpose does the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise?
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment. The House will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, let me begin by saying that I appreciate Representative John sharing this amendment with me as the sponsor of this bill. Also, I should have said this for Representative Jackson and Representative Floyd as well, and I apologize for not acknowledging the courtesy that they showed me. The only way that this body would perform congressional or legislative redistricting would be under a court order. That being said, I do not believe this amendment is necessary or enhances the rules, and there could, because I've not had time to fully digest this, there could be unintended consequences of adopting this amendment, and therefore, with great respect to the member, I would ask members to vote no on this amendment.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative John Rice?
Just debate the amendment a second time.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just suggest, members, that there is absolutely no reason to give a blanket exception for redistricting bills from the rules of this body. The amendment limits that to a situation where expediency may well be required. I respectfully request your positive vote in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A7 sent forward by Representative John. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk, lock machine, record the vote. 53 having voted in the affirmative, 63 in the negative. The amendment fails. We are now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really frankly disappointed at getting off to a start of this legislative session with what just happened with the amendments. In December, when we were here to finish out last year's long session, we were told, those of us in the Democratic Party, were told by the rules chairman that we needed to get ready to learn how to work with the members of the majority party, the Republican Party, because it was going to be a new year, a new body, and with different balance of power, we were going to have to learn how to work with you. And at the time, I thought, fair enough. I wish he would have said, we're going to have to learn how to work together, but you are still the majority party. Our first chance to work together was to pass rules upon which we could all agree and to find common ground to lay the framework of how are we going to do this work. The amendments that were introduced today by the Democratic Party, which were all defeated, were most of them, except for, there was one that really changed the balance of power, the one that challenged the floaters, challenges the balance of power in any given committee. But the rest of them didn't challenge majority power. They just challenged the process by which we work together, the way we talk to one another, what we're allowed to introduce and when. Things that really took nothing away from the majority, but things that would have made the minority party feel like we had the opportunity to work together with you. If we would have had our voice included by having some of those amendments receive a fair hearing today, I'd be much more inclined to vote for the rules bill, and I'd be much more inclined to not hold procedural arguments over something like whether the PCS came out at 9:05 or 8:55. But when the majority party wants to use the rules in such a way as was used just to pass these, or to defeat these amendments and pass these bills, it feels like we're back to last year. We're back to a circumstance where the rules get used purely for the circumstances of power, not for the ability to develop working relationships for the people of North Carolina. So I'm disappointedly having to vote against the bill today.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Resolution 16 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Jackson, does the gentleman wish to record? The clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 70 having voted in the affirmative and 47 in the negative. House Resolution 16 does pass its second reading. It is ordered engrossed and ordered printed. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise? Okay. What purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Inquired, Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman's recognized for inquired.
Mr. Speaker, look like we have commenced all of our business tomorrow. Do we have to fellowship tomorrow?
There's always fellowship, but it does not appear at this point it's going to be recorded fellowship. Just a moment, though. We're going to stand at ease just a few moments on a scheduling matter. House will come back to order. Members, the action that the chair is going to be asking leave to add is a resolution for immediate consideration to invite the governor to speak to present the State of the State address on February 18th. If we were to not suspend the rules, we would have to have a recorded vote tomorrow, but the chair is going to get it feels like most members probably would not have a problem with voting on that today. So the chair is going to ask, is there objection to the rules being suspended that House Joint Resolution 36 be filed and taken up today for immediate consideration for the purpose of inviting the governor for the State of the State. Is there objection to that? Hearing none. So order. Introduction of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, House Joint Resolution 36, a joint resolution inviting His Excellency Governor Roy Cooper to address a joint session of the House of Representatives and State.
House Joint Resolution 36, Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, House Joint Resolution 36, a joint resolution inviting His Excellency Governor Roy Cooper to address a joint session of the House of Representatives and State. The House resolved, the Senate concur.
Members, the bill is on the dashboard. The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, the resolution before you is very important. This resolution extends an invitation to His Excellency the Governor to deliver a joint, to deliver an address to a joint meeting of the House and the Senate on February the 18th, 2019 at 7 o'clock p.m. The reason that we are asking you to take it up today is the process would be as follows. If this House adopts this resolution, it would go to the Senate. They would do the same thing. There's then a decades-old process in which the Council of State and seated justices and guests alike are invited to attend, and that just takes some time to do. The state has been agreed to with the governor, and I would ask for your support of this resolution. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 36 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Cunningham, Representative Meyer, Representative Blackwell, Representative Sasser, do these members wish to record on this vote? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 116 have voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Joint Resolution 36 passed the second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
House resolves, Senate concur.
Question for the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 36 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Joint Resolution 36, having passed its third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate by a special messenger. Members, we're now at the point of notices and announcements, and the chair can advise the body that there will not be any recorded votes tomorrow. And it does not appear that there, at least at this juncture, there would be recorded votes on Monday night. So for your planning purposes, that's some information that may be helpful. Notices and announcements. What purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For a point of personal privilege.
Please recognize to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Representative Carney messing with me, Mr. Speaker. But anyway, I wanted to make the announcement that we have entered into Black History Month, and I call it African American History for me. And I'm asking each one of you in the chamber to recognize it, as well as to go back and, you know, sometimes you need to do your DNA. I did mine. And I missed the opportunity to think that I had some Indian in me, and it wasn't there. I had some Asian. But anyway, we all come from someplace. We're all diverse, and you never know what that history is going to show you, as well as to acknowledge some of the sacrifice and the work done by those individuals. So on my Facebook, it says, I am celebrating African American history every day. Thank you.
And members, the chair wants to amend a previous statement. Monday night, there will not be recorded votes, but members are asked to be here. There is a special session, and we'll be honoring the Boy Scouts of America on that evening. So would ask members to be please be present Monday night for session. For what purpose does the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
The Democrat work group on broadband will meet at 3:30 in room LOB 415 today.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
If the rules share of
gentleman from Harnett, yield to the gentleman from Cumberland.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Davis, I see no, Representative Lewis, I see no bills on the calendar. Will rules meet Monday?
No, sir, Representative Floyd. No bills have worked through the process to get to rules yet, so rules will not be meeting on Monday.
Thank you, sir.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Carney, rise?
For an announcement?
Lady has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I rise today to announce, along with Representative Elmore, that we are starting, and we have founded, and it's getting ready to kick off, an Arts Caucus for North Carolina Legislature. This has been sought by many, many people for us to do, and this is within the arts community across the state. So every entity within each member's district has a stake in this caucus, so we encourage all of you to sign up. You may call Representative Elmore's office or my office and let us know that you would like to join the caucus. It's going to be an incredible year for the arts, and we have our counterparts on the Senate side that are organizing. It will be a joint caucus, so join up. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Bumgarner, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Anyone that is on the insurance committee, I'm just reminding you, we're having dinner at 6 o'clock tonight, Cafe Luna, so make sure you get there. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Martin, rise?
To speak to a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, forgive me. I've got a little bit of that same stuff that's affecting Representative John also. I did want to take a quick moment just to relay a bit of Black history for Black History Month, but it's also a great part of North Carolina history and North Carolina's military history. North Carolina native Sergeant Eugene Ashley, I learned, was the first, believed to be the first African-American Special Forces soldier to receive the Medal of Honor for his actions in the Vietnam War. I won't take your time now because I do know you want to get back home, but I encourage you to Google it and read the citation from his Medal of Honor award, and you'll see that it was well-deserved. But he was born in Wilmington back in 1930. His family did move up to New York. He unfortunately was killed in that engagement in Vietnam during the actions for which he received the Medal of Honor. But tomorrow will be the 51st anniversary of those actions and of his death. So I just wanted to call your attention to a great North Carolinian.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Members, next Wednesday the 13th, the House Committee on Agriculture will meet at 1 p.m. in 643. I would extend an invitation to any of the other members who are not on House Ag to attend that meeting. Mr. Nick Pickett from the Department of Agriculture, a statistician and an economist, we'll give an informational session that will amaze you if you're there concerning various things about agriculture that we're all interested in. So I would encourage any members who are interested in up-to-date, current, good information about agriculture to please attend it. Next Wednesday, 1 p.m., 6:43.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Richmond, Representative Goodman, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, we all know that the Eastern North Carolina is rich in its history, and there are many legends of famous and infamous people that came from there. But 49 years ago tomorrow, one of the most famous was born, and it is my seatmate, Howard Hunter. He's going to be 49 tomorrow.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, rise?
An announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Piggybacking on what Representative Carney was talking about with signing up with the ARC Caucus, there'll be an email going out tomorrow on behalf of her office and mine. You can reply to that email if you want to be on the roll. And also, we would really like, even if you were on the roll last year, to just tell us again if you want to re-enroll with it. And hopefully we'll have some high numbers. So contact her office, my office, or through the email to get your name on the list. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, rise.
Mr. Speaker, to make an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Yesterday we were busy and worrying about the Carolina State game, which turned out quite well. But another special occasion happened yesterday, and this lady is so important to this body, it needs mentioning today. My seatmate had a birthday. I'm not dare asking her what birthday that is, but I think we all know what she means to this body, and I think we need to wish her a belated but much happy, happy birthday.
Further notices and announcements. And again, members, for your planning purposes, no votes tomorrow, but on Monday, would ask members to be here for Monday evening session for that special ceremony. Seeing no further notices or announcements, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Thursday, February 7th at 12 o'clock noon, subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Brisson. That the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, February 7th at 12 noon, subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.